Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, today, I think, is one of the most exciting times to be in business. The economy seems to be rebounding. We've got more people who are interested in supporting small business owners, and there are so many people in business today that you don't really have to look very far to get help in any form to support your achievement of your business goals. And, of course, here at Indie Business Podcast, we aim to do just that. And one of the things that I'm noticing is the increase in the number of small business owners who are really keenly interested in either associating their businesses with existing philanthropic causes or starting their own nonprofit organizations to complement some of their business efforts. And to help us do that today, we have a fantastic guest. His name is Rupert Schofield, and he is the author of The Social Entrepreneur's Handbook, How to Start, Build, and Run a Business That Improves the World. Rupert Schofield is president and CEO of Finca International. Under his leadership, it has grown from 60,000 clients and a loan portfolio of $5 million to more than 750 clients and a loan portfolio of more than $300 million. As an agricultural economist, he has 30 years' experience as a social entrepreneur in countries like Africa, throughout Latin America, Eurasia, and the Middle East. He lives in Washington, D.C., which is my hometown, as you know, and he joins us from his offices there. Welcome to Indie Business Podcast, Rupert.
Welcome. Thank you for having me, Donna Maria.
Well, you know, I love the notion in your book that anyone can take a passion or a cause that they have a real desire to make a change within the world, and they can create either their own business or they can work in another philanthropic cause that's owned by someone else to really make a difference in the world. Tell us what you're noticing in today's economy, Rupert, about the growth and expansion of different philanthropic businesses, particularly in the small business arena.
Well, you know, Donna Maria, it's incredible, really, the growth that we're seeing in the nonprofit sector. Just as an indicator, between 1999 and 2009, the number of nonprofits just in the U.S. grew from 1.2 million to 1.6 million. That's an increase of 30%. And you might wonder, you know, why is this happening? Well, I think, you know, I'm a child of the 60s, so I grew up in a time in America where, you know, young people were disillusioned by a lot of things, the Vietnam War, you know, maybe the direction the country was going in. So, you know, we looked for ways to make a difference. I remember when corporate recruiters would come from the big companies to the campus, we would say, no, we don't want to even talk to those people. You know, we want to do something that really improves people's lives. So in my particular case, when I graduated from Brown University in 1971, I was kind of without direction, frankly, and I had actually been the winner of a very strange kind of lottery where they put our birth dates into a bean can and they drew them out one by one. And if you were within the first 100 dates they drew out, you got to go to Vietnam. So I came up number 67. So I had to get a plan together quickly if I wanted to take control of my own life. So I actually was able to get into the Peace Corps, which gave us a two-year deferment from military service. In my case, I was sent to the highlands of Guatemala to help organize a small farmer cooperative to provide small loans to farmers so they could improve the yields on their crops in corn and beans. Now, the Mayan Indians of Guatemala were a very oppressed people. They had their land basically stolen by the conquistadores many years ago during the colonial years. And they had been, you know, just scraping by on the small plots of land that the landowners would allow them to grow something on. But the land, by after, you know, years and years, centuries even, was greatly depleted. So when we made these farmers $50 loans worth of fertilizer, the yield increases were dramatic. And I noticed a number of things. First of all, of the 800 clients that I was serving, 799 of them repaid their loans in full, many before the crops were even in. Only one defaulted, and I'm still looking for him. The other thing I noticed was that the impact on the people's welfare of these small loans was just incredible. You know, the yields increased, and they were able to feed their families better. They were able to sell some of the crop and buy medicine when someone in the family got sick. So this was my sort of, I guess I'd call it social entrepreneur moment, when I realized, if I could make a difference at this in this small town in the lives of 800 families, maybe it would be possible to have a larger impact. So, the years have gone by, of course, but today, interestingly enough, we just crossed in Finca the 800,000 client mark. So I'm pretty proud of what we've accomplished and the impact we're having in the world. And
congratulations on your success, and what a fantastic background you have to bring to the discussion today. Rupert, can you define for us a social entrepreneur?
Well, I think, Donna Maria, probably everyone is familiar with what a normal garden variety entrepreneur is. It's basically, you know, the people that are listening to your show right now. They're people who have said, you know what, I don't want to go into a big company and be a cog in a wheel. I want to work for myself. Most entrepreneurs, you know, they will either come up with an idea of their own and test it and scale it up, or they'll borrow someone else's idea and do it better. And their goal is probably, you know, mainly just to make a living and make money. Well, the social entrepreneur is a different animal. He or she looks at the world and says, you know what, I don't like the world the way it is. This certain group of people is getting a raw deal, you know, either because they're impoverished or they're the wrong color or race or ethnic group, and I want to do something about that. And the social entrepreneur is primarily motivated by that passion to help other people. Now, the other thing that's different about the social entrepreneur, which distinguishes him or her from, say, someone who goes into charity work, is that the social entrepreneur tries to make this change using business practices, best practices, models from the business sector rather than the charitable sector.
And is that something that is advisable no matter what kind of business you're running from a social entrepreneurship perspective? In other words, does it not make sense to use that sort of business approach anyway?
It certainly does, and a lot of nonprofits, especially the ones that have grown large over the years, are almost indistinguishable from, you know, large corporations in the way that they're organized, in the way they manage their financial and human resources, in the systems they have. It's simply, it's a huge challenge to manage a large and growing organization that's providing services to thousands or maybe millions of people. So if you don't manage it in a business-like way, you're not going to survive. Now, the other thing that is important to keep in mind is that, you know, you are not managing to the bottom line. You are not managing to create wealth for yourself personally or shareholders. Your stakeholders, as it were, the most important ones, are the people you're trying to help. And so in Finca's case, you know, our goals are aligned with those clients. We are trying to create wealth at the bottom of the pyramid for those 800,000 people, trying to figure out how we can provide our financial services to them in more efficient ways, more effective ways that help expedite their escape from poverty.
Now, Rupert, let's apply some of what you're saying to today's very small business owner. I call them micro business owners, who are the bulk of our listeners here. What sorts of trends or things are you noticing that small business owners are doing to either align themselves with a worthy social cause, or even taking the success that they've had as a small business owner in a for-profit venture and creating a nonprofit that sort of allows them to leverage both and keep both businesses going while having one as a for-profit and another one totally separate again as, a social venture?
Right. Well, there's so much exciting stuff happening in our space, Donna Maria. And let's just take from a philosophical point of view. There's large debates in this country on, should we do something about global warming? Does global warming actually exist? Should we, do something about the environment and so forth? Well, I personally, I've concluded, we can't wait for the government to settle these squabbles. We have to take action at the individual and at the company level. Mm-hmm. And I really see a lot of people doing that. I see slowly small businesses all over the country and really the world, adding a green component, trying to, be more environmentally, try to lessen their carbon footprint, in the economy and the environment. Let's take an example of a guy who started a small business a while back in probably the least likely place you would look for a green company, the fast food business. I was recently at my son's graduation out in Boulder, Colorado, and his keynote speaker was a Mr. Ells who started the Chipotle chain. Steve Ells. Now, when he started that company, he was actually not thinking about a fast food chain. He was going to start a high-end restaurant, but he didn't have the capital to pull that off. He loved to cook Mexican food, so he started a little taco stand. But, being who he was, he said, I don't want to serve people canned beans and all this other stuff, processed stuff. So he prepared his own beans. We, would painstakingly cook them all day. And, people loved his food so much, he ditched the idea of doing the high-end restaurant, and he started opening more and more of these Mexican fast food restaurants all across the country. But he didn't, follow the corporate route and go to big corporate farms for his raw materials. He went to a co-op in Iowa, I believe, where he bought free-range raised pork. He went to a organic farm in Pennsylvania for his vegetables. But more than anything else, he was driven by this passion to give people a good deal, give them good-tasting, healthy food at a fair price. And, he wasn't really thinking, gee, how can I maximize my profits? He took a different tack, and guess what? He's now got over 1,000 stores, and he's doing enormously well financially, but his orientation was not in that direction initially.
So, and this is a really good example, if I'm understanding you correctly, that there is really a nonprofit mindset, a nonprofit motivation behind a for-profit enterprise.
Exactly. It's all the sort of what I, call in my book, when you're leading one of these things, you ask yourself, what is my destination? Where do I want to take my people? Where do I want to take my customers? And so if your destination is, just to say, my destination is to get personally as rich as I possibly can, that will take you down one road. But I argue in my book that actually doesn't lead to, you know, satisfaction in your life, and you know, being able to look back and say, wow, you know, I made a difference in the lives of a lot of people, and I did okay financially, nothing wrong there. But people, you know, they may remember me when I'm gone, and I've also trained a whole army of acolytes who are going to keep on my good work.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we certainly see no shortage, Rupert, today of men and women who have acquired great wealth, but they've done it at the expense of other people. And I'm excited to see that more people like you and your book and others are really talking about another way of life. And I honestly think, Rupert, that most small business owners today really approach their businesses from a much more positive perspective. They want to make a profit. They want to be successful. They want to be comfortable. And as you said, nothing wrong with that. But they also have what you just described, which is a real desire to help other people and to leave a legacy and a conversation about themselves that transcends the success and the money that they've made.
I couldn't agree with you more, Donna Maria. And, you know, and one of the things that that actually, you know, I almost choke up about it, but my kids are so proud of what I do, mm-hmm. you know, and that there's no payoff compared to that. You know, your kids go around and people say, what's your dad do? You know, well, my dad is, a mechanic, or my dad works for an oil company. You know, my kids say, well, my dad works for a foundation that, you know, helps get hundreds of thousands of people out of poverty. And you know, and that just makes a huge difference in your life when you feel good about what you're doing, and everybody in your family feels good about what you're doing.
Well, and certainly today, and as you talk about your children, and I have some very young children, and their access to technology certainly makes it much more possible for them than it does for previous generations to do this kind of work. I want to ask you, Rupert, if you could please share a couple of your best tips for any small business owners out there who want to take their philanthropic efforts to another level beyond identifying or perhaps making a donation to a worthy cause or donating a percentage of their profits, which is a fantastic way to participate. But what would you suggest for any companies that really do want to start a new nonprofit from the ground up and make the kind of difference that you've been able to make in the world? And again, on a small scale, because these are businesses that are very, very tiny, they can make a difference, you know, but it's not going to be like this massive, huge thing. And most of the businesses that I know and that are listening to our show don't really want to do that. But they do want to make a difference and might be considering starting a nonprofit. What things would you advise them to do as they position themselves to be successful doing that?
Sure thing. Okay. Well, you know, to me, it all begins with asking yourself a question. You know, looking around at your immediate community and saying, okay, what is wrong with, you know, this place where I live? What, you know, what is something, you know, that I feel is, you know, an injustice? Or, you know, maybe it's homeless people, maybe it's hungry people, maybe it's, you know, school children who aren't getting the education they should have, and, you know, and the government, for whatever reason, is not addressing this problem. You know, something that, you know, when you think about it, really bothers you, and you think, gee, you know, if I just had the time and the resources, you know, maybe I could actually do something about this. You know, so you start with that, and then you, you know, and this may, you know, it might be an easy perspective or a useful way to look at it. You know, if you have a small business, what is your supply chain there? You know, who are the customers that you're serving? And then looking backwards, who are the vendors that you are working with? You know, who are those people? You know, get to know them, and, you know, maybe they, you know, maybe they have some kind of special needs, or maybe you could work, you know, with a vendor who maybe has a disability or something like that, and you could, mm-hmm. you know, by giving them a shot at your business, you know, you might lift them up. I think there's, you know, there's also the, of course, you know, you can always devote a portion of your profits directly to any nonprofit that you think is doing a good job in your community, but don't stop there, you know? I mean, maybe, you know, your business expertise that you have developed over the years running a successful business, you know, as we were speaking, Donna Maria, that's worth a lot to a nonprofit that might, you know, be doing good work or trying to do good work in your community, but they're struggling on the management side, you know. And you could say, you know what, let me volunteer. I'll be on your board or I'll be your mentor, you know. This can be actually a really neat end to your day, one day a month, you know, to go over and sit on the board of a local nonprofit. You know, most of the people on that board, maybe they're social workers or they come from a strictly social background, but they're maybe not too great at managing the finances, or maybe they, you know, they're not getting the most out of their staff because they don't know how to motivate human resources, you know. So another thing, if you have employees, you can actually tell them, you know what, I want you to go over a half day once a month and help out this nonprofit, you know, and then come back and tell us, you know, your experience. You think they're doing a good job? Are they actually helping these people? I mean, it's all about, at the end of the day, you know, getting engaged and making a human, you know, person-to-person connection with the people you're trying to help or the people that are trying to do something worthwhile in your community. Now, if you want, you know... Of course, if you want to go, you know, full out and make your life really interesting, then you can, you know, set up a parallel organization to your business, which is, you know, actually a nonprofit which is implementing an idea you have, and you feel so passionate about this, you know, and you don't see anybody else trying to solve that problem in your community. You say, you know what, I want to get involved in this myself personally, and I've got a little, you know, capital I can devote to this, and, you know, I'll read Rupert Schofield's book, and he'll, you know, tell me how to raise money, how to find money in the private sector, and, you know, government grants and so forth. So that, you know, and you may discover, frankly, as I did, I mean, I was making my living as a consultant when we organized Finca back in 1985, and I volunteered there for 5 years, and then, you know, when we started to have some success and raise some real money, my partner in the who had been in the consulting firm but left to devote himself full-time to getting the foundation running said, you know, Rupert, you need to dump that consulting firm and help me over here because this thing is taking off. And that's exactly what happened. I ended up leaving the firm and devoting myself full-time to Finca. So it can happen. Right. And I have to tell you, those, I have never looked back. There have been 25 of the most fantastic years of my life.
Well, it's certainly clear from your book that you are passionate, and not only that, but extremely knowledgeable. And for those of our listeners who are out there wondering about how to go about raising that money, there are some great tips in Rupert's book, The Social Entrepreneur's Handbook, and I love the title of Chapter 3, Money Does Grow on Trees, but you have to plant the trees first. So that's really good. Rupert, I want to share a quick short story with you. One of my members of the Indie Beauty Network that I lead, which is a trade organization for manufacturers of cosmetics, she sources her ingredients from all over the world, and she started traveling to these different countries where she could actually see the ingredients being extracted from their natural nuts or wherever they came from. One of the things she noticed in Morocco that really captured her heart was these poor little children who had no place to go to school, or if they did have a place to go to school, they had no lunch, they had no chairs to sit in, and things of that nature. So what she did was she developed a relationship with a gentleman over in Morocco who needed a job, and she hired him to source handmade goods from the Moroccan community for her and ship them. She gave him a budget, shipped the goods back over here to the United States. She formed a nonprofit organization to sell those goods and donate the profits to Morocco, to these schools. And she has been able to buy lunch boxes and school supplies and, you know, contribute to paying for repairs to some of these schools. So is that an example of what you're talking about in terms of starting a parallel organization? I just want to give kudos to her. Her name is Leela Barker, and her business is Bella Luce, and her nonprofit is called From Morocco with Love. Is that an example of what we can do as small business owners when we have that kind of passion to make a difference like that?
That is an absolutely fabulous example, Donna Maria, better than any of the ones I gave you. So I don't know why you have me on the show.
No, it's just a very, very, very small business owner, but you said at the top of the show, when I asked you what a person needed to do this, the first thing you said was you have to find something, you have to find a need. And oftentimes...
Yep, exactly. And there are, you know, there are as many worthy causes as there are problems in this world, and you don't have to look any farther, you know, than down the street in your own community, or, you know, like in my case, I just felt a connection with these impoverished small farmers in Guatemala, and I discovered, you know, Guatemala was just the tip of the iceberg, that, you know, there were 2 billion people who were in exactly those same circumstances in all the other developing countries. So, you know, I'm not going to help all of them, but, you know, hopefully through our example here at Finca, we can inspire a lot of people. And, you know, who knows, maybe one day all this terrible poverty and all these problems in the world will be a memory.
Well, and certainly one of the great examples in your book is Kiva, which is a web-based peer-to-peer microfinance lending program. This is a great way, is it not, Rupert, for people to participate without having to start an organization themselves?
Sure. You know, I mean, if you can contribute to Kiva or to Finca, you know, and here I'm going to make a terrible confession. We liked Kiva's model so much, we're actually imitating it here at Finca. So you can have the same kind of impact, but Kiva's a great organization, and, you know, and they came up with a what we call in the nonprofit sector a sponsorship program where, you know, as an individual contributor, you can make a donation which goes directly to an individual or a family in the developing country. These things are actually complicated to organize, and they're not, you know, without their problems. I've explained all that in the book.
Yeah.
But it's very promising, you know, because it can, you know, people are happy to make a donation to Save the Children or to UNICEF and know that, you know, somewhere in the world somebody's benefiting. But these sponsorship programs are so powerful if you can design them right, because, you know, I, Rupert Schofield, or you, Donna Maria, you actually get to see the person you are helping, and they may write a letter to you, or someone may write up a report of what they did with your contribution. So it's very empowering, and you know, makes it very personal versus impersonal.
Indeed. We're talking to Rupert Schofield, President and CEO of the Foundation for International Community Assistance. His new book titled The Social Entrepreneur's Handbook, How to Start, Build, and Run a Business That Improves the World. Rupert, in our last 60 seconds, can you tell us where we go online to learn more about you?
Certainly. I have a website and a blog at rupertschofield.com, which is one word. You can connect and, you know, purchase the book directly online there. You can also find it in bookstores. But also, please go to our foundation website, finca.org, that's F-I-N-C-A, and learn all about the incredible work we're doing at Finca.
We're going to find out more about that, Rupert. Rupert Schofield, he's also on Twitter, at Rupert Schofield. His book, The Social Entrepreneur's Handbook. If you're interested in making a difference in the world and using your business to make a difference in the world, you need to get your hands on this fantastic book filled with tips, stories, and ideas to help you do just that. Rupert Schofield, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
Thank you, Donna Maria, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.